The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
It's a special edition of Mr. Outdoors. We rename him, we deem him Mr. Storm. Hey, Greg. Greg Roberts over at RogueWeather.com. Welcome back.
Thanks, Bill. Good to be back. And yeah, Mr. Storm.
Yeah, it's kind of showtime, right? Mr. Fire.
Just kind of.
Mr. Fire, Mr. Storm, you know, whatever.
Yeah, Mr. Outdoors, Mr. Fire, Mr. Storm. Yeah.
You know, if we end up getting some super icy weather, we could be like, you could be like Arnold, Mr. Freeze.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be the next one.
Exactly.
All right. Well, you know, overall, though, the wind, it just blew and it rained. It's still raining. It's still windy. It's not quite as much wind as we had last night. But fortunately, most of the power is on here in Southwest Oregon. Only a handful of Southern and Southwest Oregon outages. So that's good. I guess that all that trimming of trees that Pacific Power was doing these last few months, that frantic work, kind of keeping the trees out of the line. That's a good deal. That helps.
Well, yeah, I mean, all of that helps. We've had trees go down onto roads here. We've had trees take out power lines. But what we're not seeing is really widespread power outages. Now, up to our north, especially Western Washington, Puget Sound, Seattle area, big-time widespread power outages. I saw a report that almost 500,000 people in Western Washington without power. And to get numbers like that in Washington, obviously you're including the Seattle area, which is their biggest metro. So, you know, these storm impacts were being felt all up and down the West Coast. And, of course, the biggest impact for us locally right now is the closure of I-5 southbound at Ashland. No estimate as to when that's going to reopen, because it isn't so much the issue in the Siskiyous. It's we've got a raging blizzard going on at Mount Shasta, Mount Shasta City. Highway totally closed down. I-5 northbound at Fondale closed for semi-truck trailer combinations.
Mm-hmm.
They're not letting them come north out of Fondale. They are still allowing passenger vehicles, although I'm not sure how much longer that will be. But chains are required for everything except four-wheel drives with studded tires in California.
Yeah, just regular snow tires aren't going to cut it. Regular snow tires aren't going to cut it for this, are they, right now?
And Highway 66, it's closed. It's closed more because of the fact that the plows and sanders that would be working it are over doing their best to keep I-5 clear and as open as we could get it here in Siskiyous Summit. So 66 is closed this morning, but that is really the only Oregon closure I am seeing right now. I mean, I-5 southbound, it's closed at Ashland. But that's mainly to keep people from getting down into Northern California and overwhelming Yreka, because there is no lodging left available in Yreka. And I've seen three videos this morning, one from people that I know who live east of Chico, that they came north. Boy, are they ever sorry that they did it. Their video is pretty amazing. Coming up Highway 97, you couldn't see past the front of their truck, and then they encountered a semi that had been blown over, and I forget exactly where on 97. They barely missed running right into it.
Ooh, boy, I tell you that. You talk about a close call, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Now,
they barely recognize it and get themselves stopped, and the only reason they didn't run into it is they were going so slow. They were doing about 20 miles an hour, and they encounter this blown-over semi. I've also seen video from plow drivers here in Oregon, one of which works for Jackson County Roads. He's got the detail of keeping Butte Falls Highway cleaned up. Definite heavy snow, strong winds. Showed me video of a tree that was down in the roadway, not creating anything super serious. and then got video from another plow driver working, trying to keep the highways around Crater Lake and Diamond Lake open, 230 and 138 specifically, and again, near whiteout conditions. So definitely not a day to be traveling. We were talking about this on Rogue Weather on the page yesterday. I just said while the winter storm warning is in effect, which is through 10 p.m. tonight, highways 58, 138, 230, 62 in Oregon. Travel just should not even be attempted due to the severity. And then, of course, down in Northern California, in addition to I-5 being closed, they also closed California State Highway 3 at Callahan and at Trinity Center in Trinity County because of severe winter conditions on Scott Mountain. So we're seeing the kind of impacts we definitely thought we were going to see. And this is why, you know, from a travel point of view, not going to be great, certainly, for the rest of today. We'll see how quick they can get things cleaned up. There is going to be some help coming from Mother Nature. Snow levels will be going up tomorrow, and what is heavy snow now is going to turn into rain, which is definitely going to help get I-5 cleaned up and opened again. And to that end, people asking me, well, what's travel look like this weekend? Friday during the day, it should be rain on I-5 from between Cottage Grove and Redding. And then Friday night into Saturday, snow levels start coming back down. And when we get to Sunday night into Monday, that's when it looks like we've really got our next serious potential for snow impacts on I-5, especially down in the Mount Shasta area.
And looking ahead, I know it's a little difficult to predict this far out, but, you know, where we're talking about next Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, into the Thanksgiving holiday, is that going to be seriously impacted travel time the way the models are looking right now or not?
Absolutely. We've got more storms coming on shore next week in that time frame that you're talking about. And also in that time frame we're talking about, Tuesday, Wednesday, right now, for what we can determine looking at forecast models, we're probably going to see a snow level somewhere running about 3,000 feet, could potentially be as low as 2,000 feet, especially on Wednesday, day before Thanksgiving. And I did a live session last night on Rogue Weather's Facebook page, and I told people that over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go for Thanksgiving may be real difficult because of just what we're expecting to see happen next week. So
any talk about the heavy fog, anything that might impact flying out of the Rogue Valley?
No. And you know, that's the one thing about a storm like this and the storms we're going to have. You're not getting much high pressure to establish, which helps create the fog. So I guess the only really good news here is if you're flying in and out of Medford, I don't see anything at this point that would really impact Medford. Now, you get out to the larger hubs. I know Portland and Seattle this morning are a mess because of the storm situation, but Medford itself isn't really that bad. The trick is going to be getting into Medford if you're coming through Seattle and Portland.
Greg Roberts, RogueWeather.com, with me this morning. And caller, do you want to talk with Greg or mention something going on in your neighborhood? Hi, who's this? Hello?
Well, they finally opened Old Stage Road. We had two big trees fall down here on Old Stage Road.
Uh-huh.
And the road's been blocked for about 10 hours. You still can't get down early and way. And do you guys recommend any electricians that would help me fix my mom's box? Her power box on the house there has been broken. The power company reattached the line, but we have no power for her.
Oh, you know, one of our sponsors that comes to mind, though, Completed Electric Plus, might be able to help you out on something like that. Send me an email, okay? Email bill at billmeyershow.com, and I'll see if we
don't have internet.
Oh, that's right.
So completed...
Sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
I forgot
no
your power's out, you know? Okay.
So Completed Power Plus?
Yeah, Completed Electric Plus. Plus, that's one of them. And there is also, there's Patriot Electric, also another great organization to talk to. The main thing might be trying to get someone to be able to come out today, okay? But
yeah, that's the main thing.
Yeah, yeah, give them. Yeah, because you need it here pretty quickly. Hey, appreciate the call. Good luck on that. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Jeez. So now, Old States, that's the one between Gold Hill and Jacksonville, right, Greg?
Is correct.
Okay. Yep. Sometimes I forget about Old Stage and Stage Road, and I get them kind of confused in my mind.
Yeah,
but
and trust me, it happens. We listen to, you know, what's going on with emergency dispatch, and, yeah, people will get that one confused. And then we've got streets in Ashland and Medford named the same,
yeah.
And sometimes there's confusion on, are we talking about the one in Ashland, or are we talking about the one in Medford?
Exactly, so. Exactly, that sort of thing. So, out of curiosity, what level of snow are we seeing, let's say, Crater Lake, or if there's any reporting from that? I'm just wondering how big of a dump it is coming right today.
Crater Lake, you know, I'll just go back to what the winter storm warning was calling for.
Mm-hmm.
2 feet of snow for sure through 10 p.m. tonight. There's model runs suggesting we were going to be getting up as high as 4 feet of snow. And I'm trying to, as I'm talking, I'm trying to pull.
Okay, well, let me just redirect then.
2 feet of snow potentially at Crater Lake, and that's what we call the max out potential. Again, what the forecast amount was looking at, oops, hold on, I got to change this, and boom. Okay, forecast amount now, they've upped it to 3 feet. So 3 to 4 feet of snow in Crater Lake National Park, similar amounts down around Mount Shasta. Actually, no. Mount Shasta now, looking at this newest model for predicted snowfall, probably more like 5 to 6 feet of snow. Mount Ashland has now also been bumped up, and it is in that 2 to 3 feet category. So great news for Mount Ashland, and I know they are working as hard as they can now to do an early opening. They know they've got the snow.
Oh,
they've
yeah.
got favorable forecast. They did put the pro ski patrollers on. They put a lot of their mountain operations people on that they need to get the mountain prepped to be able to get it open. The groomers are working. So long story short here, if we get an announcement next week that Mount Ashland is opening early, I'm not going to be a bit surprised, because they have definitely gone into warp drive speed to get the mountain open ASAP.
Yep, early Christmas present for the skiers and outdoor enthusiasts, that's for sure. Greg Roberts with me, RogueWeather.com. Hello, caller, you're on with Greg. Who's this? Welcome.
Good morning. It's what's left of Jim from Jacksonville.
Hello, Jim. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Greg, I was wondering, could you give us a thumbnail on your hunting experiences for both blacktail and elk?
Okay, so the thumbnail is a lot of misfortune, especially on deer, preventing me from filling the tag. It wasn't for a lack of seeing bucks. We were seeing bucks, including one in the Applegate. That deer is going to be in my head for a very long time. That deer was a bruiser. That's the buck everybody goes looking for, and he just got the jump on us timing wise. He saw us before we saw him, and by the time we saw him, just couldn't get him in the scope. But hey, I just count myself lucky. I got to see a quality buck like that. I mean, just, you know, like I said, it's the buck everybody's looking for. The elk situation is more of a to be continued, because while I did not catch up to the bull I was looking for in the rifle season, we kept bumping into his tracks. We kept figuring out where he was at. But you don't become a big bull elk by being dumb. And this guy is not dumb. He's really difficult to put eyeballs on. But we get another crack at him starting on Saturday, because the rogue unit muzzle loader season for elk begins, and I got a good friend who has a muzzle loader tag, so I'm going to be going out with him as we attempt to catch up on this guy again.
All right, hey Jim, I appreciate you checking in from Jacksonville, rather, this morning, okay? Hey, Greg, before we take off, any problems heading out to the coast? You know, sometimes I don't think there's a lot of snow going on there, but what are the overall conditions? Any idea?
Yeah, so far I'm not seeing any reported closures. I haven't checked Caltrans in a couple hours here. Let me roll back and see if they've updated, because they should have. Nope, still not reporting any closures, but with the amount of rain coming down, and it is raining at a rate, the only way I can describe it is like a fire hose coming out of the sky, and with the wind situation, it's not going to be easy travel, and I fully expect there's going to be a higher potential for mud and debris flows between O'Brien and Gaskie, and that Kelly burn scar.
Yep.
It's got some grass and brush on it now, which helps, but with the sheer amount of volume of water coming out of the sky, those hillsides, the debris still up there, it doesn't take much to get that in motion and coming down onto 199. So you've got to be real cautious on 199. And then if you make it out to Highway 101, same kind of thing. Hurricane force winds still being seen from Cape Mendocino in Northern California all the way to the Canadian border, and just dumping rain. And I don't see – hang on, I got to pull this view into a little bit different mode. I am not seeing ODOT reporting – any closures or significant issues on 101 right now all the way up the coast. But I just know that the conditions, though, you know, some of those exposed areas between Brookings and Gold Beach can't be any fun, because they're seeing winds 60 to 85 miles an hour. Yeah. I've seen 90 to 100 mile an hour gust reported from weather stations on the coast, and the rainfall rate is just incredible. So, no, it's not snowing, but that doesn't mean it's a walk in the park either.
All right, very good. I can't help but wonder, though, if I was seeing – such a nicety of the power being on. It was great to see the power being on in most of the communities here in Southern Oregon, because that is civilization, as we've well talked about before.
Yep.
What I've been concerned about, even though they've done a lot of trimming of trees, if after these deep dumps of rain that we're experiencing here in Southern Oregon, that the ground softens up, and then we may see some more tree tip overs over the next few days. I'm wondering if that's what we're going to end up seeing, possibly.
Possible, because the soil gets really wet, it gets loose, and then you know, any amount of wind is going to bring trees down onto the road. As we're talking, new closure on Highway 138 in Douglas County, and this is far lower than you would expect it to be. This is in the Glide area, milepost 24 to 39. Mm-hmm. Winter conditions have closed the road. Highway 138, 7 miles east of Glide, closed due to downed trees and active trees falling. That is a brand new closure that just went up from ODOT.
Yeah, something tells me we'll see a few more of those in the coming days, all right? Hey, Greg, appreciate you taking a little time and coming on. And, of course, you'll keep people up on rogueweather.com as the additional deals.
It looks like we now have a Highway 140 closure. Yep, we do.
Oh, really?
This is 8 miles east of Odessa, so in Klamath County. Highway 140 now closed due to a disabled vehicle, and I'm going to bet a semi creating a hazard has closed the road, use an alternate route. So Highway 140 in Klamath County, so west of Klamath Falls, it is now closed due to a disabled vehicle.
Yeah, and it's always pretty sporty in the winter out there in the first place. So, all right.
For sure.
All right, Greg, and if nothing else explodes between now and Friday, we'll talk Friday, okay? You be well.
We definitely will.
All right. Thank you, Greg. Greg Roberts at rogueweather.com, 731.
It's not all about you when it comes to your well water quality. There's a lot going on below the surface. Your water is affected by everything, from drought and floods to what's been applied to property.
ZipRecruiter.com/free.
This is the Bill Maher Show on 106.3 KMED. Call Bill now,
541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
And we'll open it to your calls for the rest of this hour. Like the man said, 770-5633. Have some emails of the day, and those are sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson and Central Point Family Dentistry, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. And by the way, they famed rather for While You Wait crowns because they have an in-house lab now, which is very, very cool. Get your appointment, centralpointfamilydentistry.com, right next door to the Mazatlan Mexican restaurant on Freeman Way, in Central Point. Okay? It's 7:37. I'm going to give an email of the day to Paul Princeton. Very thoughtful emailer. He says, hey, Bill, comparing the at-first gradual change in governance with George Orwell's novel 1984 was considered more or less a joke. Now we have come to the point where it appears to have indeed been used as an instruction manual for government to follow. With ever more invasive surveillance, non-allowed speech, destruction of historical awareness, who to hate, and so on, it's game on. 1984 has entered our vocabulary with words such as newspeak, memory hole, big brother, and so on. With the Biden administration's decision to allow Ukrainian martial law dictator Zelensky to use United States long-range missiles to attack Russia offensively rather than for limited defensive purposes, we can now consider the U.S. at war with Russia. The satirical movie and masterpiece by Stanley Kubrick, Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Came to Love the Bomb, and specifically the rant of Dr. Strangelove, the implied Nazi scientist in a Germanic falsetto, appears the latest fiction used to set policy. Seems to have informed the Biden administration concerning nuclear warfare. In his rant, Dr. Strangelove proposes using mines as habitation for the select few who will shelter from a nuclear holocaust while the masses perish. After many years, when the radioactivity has sufficiently decayed, these survivors will surface to re-inhabit the Earth. It is quite a change from the mutually assured destruction doctrine that made nuclear war the unthinkable option. May those that have put nuclear war as an acceptable option on the table be the first to succumb should the unthinkable occur. It's still 2024, and a lot can happen in the remaining 60 or so days. Pray for wisdom and restraint on both sides and for the safety and installation of a new and sane leadership in January of 2025. Paul, thank you very much. Email of the day. John Ball, mayor of Shady Cove, writes me, Bill, my pebble here about FEMA, we were talking a lot about that yesterday. Commissioner Bertschinger just scratched the surface of this FEMA nymph issue. It also affects every city that is on the Rogue River or tributaries to the river who have floodplains that abut waterways that might contain ESA species. They'll have to comply also. Mayor, I appreciate you writing this morning about that. Let me see. Where did they go to? Let's see. Well, no, I'm skipping around here on the emails. Oh, the Reverend David writes about the Trump trial delay. That really irritates me because they put this on hold. But what David says, Bill, as long as the case is frozen, Trump cannot appeal the verdict, which will be overturned. So Bragg and the crooked judge are doing this for that reason. Alan Dershowitz, Trump's attorney, can get around it, and he has offered to help them. Watch out for Russian missiles. Yeah, we'll have a lot of conversation about that. Richard Edmonds writes from the Oregon Eagle on his memo. I love it. He says, Governor Tina Kotek held her first press conference since the election, which resulted in a second term in office for Donald Trump and Republican majorities. Is Oregon under threat from Washington, D.C.? Governor Kotek seems to think so. She just expanded Oregon's supply of chemical abortion pills for another 3 years. Do we need fewer Oregonians? I don't think so, at least not that way. Yet she also spoke about protecting Oregon's illegal alien population, estimated at 120,000. And Richard Emmons writes, assuming three people per home or apartment, this means that, 40,000 homes and apartments are used by such undocumented people and contributing to the Oregon housing crisis. Kotek made no mention of Oregon stocking up on heroin, cocaine, and methamphetamine, which remains illegal controlled substances under federal law. Maybe Measure 110 is also under threat by Trump. Let's hope so. I appreciate that. Richard, I always like your emails and your memos over at Oregon Eagle, okay? 770-5633. Good morning. Hi, who's this? Welcome.
Well, good morning, Bill. It's Francine.
Francine, how are you today, this Wheels Up Wednesday?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. So the mention of George Orwell, you know, saying, you know, how that could almost be like a playbook. Well, that's exactly what it was meant to be. I mean, he was a member of the Fabian Society or associated with them.
And so you're not thinking that 1984 was meant to be a warning then, huh?
I think later in life, sometimes I get him and Huxley mixed up, but I think later in life he was feeling like that, you know, hoping it would warn people. But at the time he wrote it, I do believe, and a lot of things I've read.
He was a true believer at the time. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He was. I think Huxley, wasn't Huxley the older of the two, right?
I believe so. Huxley, of course, Brave New World, right? We had the battle between the Brave New World vision of Huxley or Soma, you know, the Soma vision, and then you had Big Brother of 1984. We kind of have a combination of both right now, wouldn't you say?
Well, we do. And so what I was going to say is my reading told me that Huxley sort of took Orwell under his wing a little bit to some degree.
Oh, interesting. Interesting minds.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while since I read it all, you know, and it's all on the internet where you can't really see what you're doing.
I know. Hey, I wanted to ask you here, while you're here, in this upcoming segment, I was hoping to get people, you know, there's been a lot of bloviating from the experts on the Trump cabinet picks. Do you have any opinion on any of them? I mean, maybe the major ones, even Matt Gaetz, since that seems to be drawing the most fire. But as far as I'm concerned, maybe he's over the target because he's drawing the most fire. What do you think?
Well, I liked your analysis of Gaetz yesterday when you said, you know, if this really happened, what, and the people are so concerned, why did they wait till now to bring it up? You know, I thought that was a very, very pointed aspect of this that shows, you know, how full of it these people are. I read a lot of Helena Glass, and her opinion of it, which I tend to think is probably fairly close, is that he knows a lot of these people are going to get rejected, but he has other people waiting down, you know, in line, and eventually, you know, they can't reject them all.
Yeah.
So I think he thinks that's his strategy here. So, and I think she might be onto something.
Maybe she is. I don't think Trump throws anybody up there though, expecting to lose. There's always been a bit of a creep factor to me with Matt Gaetz. And the reason, and you know, the reason why I think it is, and this is totally irrational on my part. I'll admit it's totally irrational. He reminds me of a bad caricature of a stock Hollywood, you know, Brother Bill, the evangelist. I don't know if it's the hair. You know what I mean? There's just something about it.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I'm spreading the word to millions and receiving millions by return mail. Pass the loot. You know, that kind of thing.
I hear you on that. Well, I'll tell you, I really do think that Trump understands, you know, he's had to learn something from before, that he is going to get a lot of reject.
Mm. We'll see on that one. I'm not convinced, but could be wrong. I'm willing to be wrong as always, but thank you for the call. Hey, if you're on hold, I will get to your calls. We have some open phone time. Happy to take your opinion on what Francine and I were talking about or anything else on your mind, too. This is the Bill Myers Show. A quick update on the news and then your calls.
Everyone deserves a fast and reliable connection.
Great up at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Potter, body shop manager of Lithia Body and Paint, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
Okay. We may be poking the bear via Zelensky and the missiles, the USA missiles, but that's okay. Sing a song. That's why I wanted to do that bumper from Earth, Wind, and Fire. Sing a song. Happy, happy. Let me go to Gregory over in Shady Cove. Gregory, what's on your mind today? Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Bill. And then we're going to talk about the thing here, whatever his name is. And that, and then I'm wondering, does anybody remember the movie? I think it was Henry Fonda in Failsafe. And that would be time to crawl under the desk if you're still in school. And then the idea that I heard early on the radio that Biden is sending over landmines over there.
Landmines, so huh?
Give me another story there, but
yeah, now, do you think that could be ruled as defensive use only? You know, that kind of thing. You know, it's different though when you hand missiles that you also have to provide U.S. personnel to guide. You know, it's kind of hard not to say that's you doing it, isn't it?
Yes, sir. And also the question is, between Korea and Russia, are they able to actually hit the United States? Of course, they'd have big bombers flying over. Mm-hmm. So, thank you.
All right. Thank you. A lot of questions, a few answers. I just don't feel like an answer guy when it comes to this this kind of stuff. I just know that it's a bigger deal than the media seems to be concerned with. I think the media is more concerned about which NFL players are doing the Trump happy dance, the Trump dance. But I don't know. It's kind of an odd it's an odd time. Maybe it is that, you know, the mind-numbing before the storm. I don't know. Let me go to David in Phoenix. David, you wanted to talk about the private security hired to handle the homeless over in the city of Grants Pass. They hired some private security. They're going to get them out there three, four times a day to watch on the homeless. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, this is interesting. A uniformed sworn police officer has certain is a legal position.
Yes.
You know, the Grants Pass Police or the Sheriff's Department. Those folks, that's a whole different ballgame. And we, in past years recently, have seen that even those folks can run into problems doing their job.
Sure.
And a private security company, they have no more rights than I do. I mean, if a security guard lays a hand on me and I punch him in the face, it's self-defense. He doesn't have any legal rights. And so a few years ago, there were people that wanted to do kind of a neighborhood bum watch thing over there where, you know, they would go out in the morning and just see what's going on. If there was a problem, call the police. That's all a security guard legally can do. He can't lay hands on you. He can't arrest. He can't do anything.
I do wonder if part of that security, of the security visiting, especially in the middle of the night, is to be just some extra eyes and ears for Grants Pass Police that are probably thinly staffed, I would imagine, at nighttime, wouldn't you think?
Right. But what I'm saying is, though, people get the wrong idea. I ride the local bus here in Medford. And downtown on Front Street, if people know where that is, by the Medford main branch of the library. The security guards, really, they're there, and at first glance, you think, oh, this is great, we got security guards. But they really are pretty much useless. We almost had a security guard stabbed. It's on video. He was almost stabbed by a guy, and there was really nothing even the police could do. So I'm just saying... What if they took that money and just hired another real live police officer, uniformed police officer that could really work? I just think the security guard thing is a kabuki show. I don't really think they can do anything. That's all I want to say.
Well, the part that I don't know here, I'm looking at this is the story in the Daily Courier. We believe this will provide some additional eyes and ears on the site. Okay, now the thing is, to hire an additional police officer is, you got to figure what, $120,000 a year, and it takes several. Oh,
probably $200 if you do their purse.
Let's say $200,000 a year. I would be willing to bet that having a private security officer perform four security checks a day would be considerably less expensive than hiring a full time police officer.
Okay, I was just looking at from what can they really do.
Well, it's eyes and ears is all they're talking about.
These things, and nothing really gets done, and that's what the frustration is for someone like me.
Yeah, and
real results.
Yeah, no, I get it, though. The security officer costs $2,700 a month, okay? $2,700 a month, which wouldn't even begin to pay for the introduction to a police officer in the city of Grants Pass. But yeah, it's all about, I guess they show up with their cell phone and they'll make a call if there's trouble. Okay. How about that? All right.
Yeah. We just keep doing these things. This is a never ending, you know, the Trump thing, he got elected. I feel good because it pisses all my good friends in Ashland off.
Yeah.
That makes me feel good. But other than that, Trump's not going to save us. We got to save ourselves. And it just bothers.
By the way, thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying that, because what Kevin Starrett and I are going to talk about is that Republicans actually backslid in the state of Oregon this time around. And in my opinion, due to some election stealing going on in the 22nd district, we'll have a little conversation about that. But yeah, Trump's not going to save us from that kind of stuff, is he?
Well, and so this is a one more good time. I was disappointed that things like Target and Bud Light weren't in the top 10. But now I know the top 10. I know that we're all going to surrender our Costco cards and not use Amazon and Amazon Prime, right?
No, that's not going to happen.
Okay, well, we're doomed.
Hey, all I'm telling you, this is the challenge with so much of the monopolization and the corporatization of retail policy. Hey, what do you think me, someone who helps local advertisers, mom and pops, what do you think that, how do you think I feel when I look at the landscape and everybody gets excited because, oh, there's another chain restaurant coming to Southern Oregon. It's just like, so what? You know? And yeah. Something else that will then that will advertise only on some national news show that I don't watch. You know? Anyway, thank you, my friend. It's good to hear from you. I understand where he's coming from. Sometimes I get embarrassed at the way that that this area will respond to, oh, there's a Five Guys, or oh, there's a this, or oh, there's this, or oh, it just, you know, the chaining, the mauling of America. I would be much more excited when I see some decent people, some mom and pops opening things around here, something that could actually grow into something other than what is it going to have to be, a Whole Foods at some point? Just saying. All right. It's 7:57 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG. Speaking of mom and pop, smaller places, great service. Why, that would be Sky Park Insurance. Sky Park Insurance, skyparkins.com. Steve Yancey, friend of mine, been saving money with him for many years. Many listeners saving money with him, too. And Lynn Barton is now working with him. If you have questions on the Medicare and the Medicare supplement plans, she's all in on that. By the way, you can call Lynn right now, and you can bug her. She doesn't mind you bugging her at all. 499-0958. 499-0958. Now, if you need regular insurance lines, you know, car and insurance, real estate, life, whatever it is, then you call Steve. His number is 261-5444, 261-5444, skyparkins.com. Sky Park Insurance, independent and working really hard for you, having multiple different lines of attack with various different companies that can work for your business, all right? Good people. And once again, Sky Park INS, get a quote today.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
American Rancher Garage services most vehicles and offers.
Why? 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 Do you really hate me that bad?
Oh, crazy liberal screaming over heavy metal. Heavy mental. Heavy mental music is what we need these days. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. Well, be kind to people. You never know what people are suffering from. What's suffering? But anyway, we need to have a serious palate cleanser right now at the moment. Of course, that's why we have Dad Jokes of the Day. Dad Jokes, of course, are sponsored by Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way off Sage Road in Medford. And right now, they have a new line of Horizon trailers that have arrived there. And they're celebrating. They'll give you a turkey fryer just in time for Turkey Day with any trailer purchase before Thanksgiving. Horizon Heavy Duty Equipment trailers available in 10, 12, 14, 20-foot lengths. Available in sharp-looking black or two-tone black, gray, and black tan. There you go. Bryan Way off Sage Road in Medford. It was sent to me from Doug as a politically incorrect pickup line, but I'm calling it the dad joke of the day. Hey, girl, your name must be Pfizer because you just made my heart stop. By the way, you can go to twodogsfab.com and submit your own joke. I love that. You know, it's funny, Doug, and it's not, right? All at the same time.